You're listening to Awake, a men's podcast by Fellowship Bible Church. Brothers, welcome in. And let me just start with a question. How many of you feel stuck? Maybe you find yourself pushing too hard, trying to prove that you've got what it takes, or maybe you're checked out, just letting life happen instead of leading with courage. Or maybe you find yourself escaping into work, entertainment, or habits that dull your stress, but don't ultimately fix the problem. Here's the hard truth. These traps, hypermasculinity, passivity, and escapism, they keep us from the life that God has for us. But it doesn't have to stay this way. That's why in late January, we're launching our next session of the Awake Study to tackle six lies that men believe and ultimately to point us to what it looks like to live in the light of Jesus. And today, I'm joined by Joe and Greg, two of our teachers for the upcoming Awake Study, and they're here to help us start unpacking these struggles and show us how to step out of darkness and into the light of God's truth. So guys, thank you so much for being here to begin this conversation for our brothers.
Yeah, thanks, Liam.
Yeah, thank you.
So here's where I think we should begin. We're trying to build the why. Why should a guy want to sign up for this Awake Study? And really, we're kind of identifying the three of us as we've met together and kind of processed through where are we going for this study. We've identified a few different areas that seem to be common areas of struggle or temptation for men. And I brought them up in the introduction. Hypermasculinity, passivity, and escape. Three common areas that I think we've seen in culture and we see in the church, men falling into these traps. But I think it would be helpful as we begin this conversation to define those terms. So what do we mean when we say hypermasculinity, passivity, and escape, Joe?
I think within the mind of every man is this concept of who should I be? What should I do? What should be my interests if I am a man? What's a real man? And we follow those images. And so we live in a world with a lot of images thrown at you and cast at you. A real man is attractive. A real man, you know, beats his body to be his slave. Mm-hmm. A real man loves hunting. A real man loves the outdoors and is always hiking or doing the next marathon or the triathlon or whatever they're doing. Again, it's that picture of bringing out some type of masculine image that the world would look back and give you that you are a man with, and that can be things controlling things. Mm-hmm. That can be high authority, low tolerance of having anyone speak into your life, of being independent, of conquering. Those mm-hmm. kind of hypermasculine images come to my mind. What about you, Greg?
Well, I was asked the smartest person in my house, you know, who is also a school psychologist, my wife, and I said, yeah. What do you think about hypermasculinity? And she says, it's about control. Mm-hmm. And she says, it's not even so much about masculinity as more so it's about someone pushing another person down, someone taking advantage of someone else, someone, whether insecure, mm-hmm. is overcompensating. Mm-hmm. So I was like, yeah, that's because we can all do it through various forms. Mm-hmm. But yes.
Yeah. I think the other side of hypermasculinity is when you don't measure up to those those images. When you don't measure up to those images, what happens to you? Where do you feel? And that's where you can kind of overcompensate.
Yep.
I need to love hunting more. Mm-hmm. I need to be out in the outdoors. I need to take more control. I need to be more of an authoritative voice. I need to lead my family spiritually, and we're going to do these kinds of things. And I don't have anyone speak into that. Mm-hmm. I think that's where we usually run into problems. And when you don't measure up, how do you view your own image as a result of that? And some of you can, you know, our culture is in this, if I don't measure up to that, then I'm going to question my gender, or I'm going to question my sexual identity in the sense of what kind of person I am.
Yeah, or your strength.
That's right.
Your courage, your capabilities. You'll question all those things too.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Yeah, and that's what I've appreciated about the upcoming series is that's where I move into my lie. is that when I'm trying to, when I'm not sure and I'm living on my own, I can, I'm more just, it's easier for me to start believing something that's not true, or I need to do this, or I need to, in that moment, act out and go, no. And you kind of know later, like, ah, oh, dang.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I think it's important for us to discuss what are those ways we fail and fall into when we tie into something like either hypermasculinity or some of the things, the passivity or the escapism that you were mentioning earlier.
Yeah, and I think, and we were kind of discussing this before we hit record, that I think passivity is where a lot of guys go when they feel like they fail to live up to some of that hypermasculinity. When I fail to exercise control over my environment or over my relationships, when I fail to conquer, well, then I'm going to shut down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what do you guys think about kind of the area of passivity?
I totally agree with that. Behind every passive man is a story. It's a story of maybe the over-controlling mother or the over-controlling wife who didn't allow him to speak, and it costs him more to fight that battle than to stay passive.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have that. You have that reaction. It's a reaction to him not measuring up to an image, either in his mind or what someone else put over him.
Yeah, I think failure feeds into that desire to be passive. When we are met again and again and again with attempts to, whether it's be courageous in a healthy way or be courageous in an unhealthy way, and we fail, then it's like, well, why should I keep trying? You have anything that you would add into the realm of passivity?
Yeah, just the ping-ponging for me. Sometimes like, okay, I'll step up. I overstep, and then I overcorrect the other way. Well, fine. Then back up, right? Mm-hmm. And it's that over, and I want to get out of that place of where I'm ping-ponging, but I'm actually saying, okay, I'm not going to move to overreacting, but I also don't want to move to passivity. So how do I find the truth? How do I bring truth into my life to bring where I can live consistently? I'm not going back and forth and overreacting.
Yeah. And I think so much of this doesn't happen in the open. It happens in the darkness. And that's why darkness is something, it's not just a spiritual concept. Mm-hmm. It's an emotional reality in our lives that when we live in the darkness of the voices that we've heard in the past that were said to us in our childhood, or the voices that were said from a spouse or from our children, or even our internal voices, those are the voices in the darkness. When this is unprocessed, that's where it becomes unhealthy. And the value of awake is not necessarily just the truth that we're going to be talking about, but the culture we're trying to develop and nurture of the darkness being brought into the light and allowing Jesus to lead you and guide you through the power of his Holy Spirit into the light and what it means to be a godly man in today's culture.
Yeah, and ultimately live in the light together.
That's right.
Yeah. With God and in fellowship with one another.
There you go. 1 John
chapter
1. I memorized it this morning again as I'm doing my review. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, right? And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from our sins.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think each one of these three areas of hypermasculinity or overcompensating and passivity and then ultimately escapism, which is kind of giving away our stress, our overwhelm to something, whether that's entertainment or porn or purchasing things.
Yes.
It could be any number of sometimes more nefarious, sometimes less nefarious things that we ultimately use to hide from what's going on. But these are the areas that we see men living in the dark.
Yep.
Unprocessed, not often coming forward to bring these things to the light, and especially not bring them to the light with other brothers. And so I think that's ultimately what we're wanting in this time and in this study is, how do we begin a conversation where we can identify, this is where I'm at. This is the lies that I'm believing. And then ultimately, how do we move towards living in the light?
Yeah. So some of our greatest needs as men, not just men, but all humanity, the need to be known and then loved. And those two things are so important as we go and talk about these lies, because the lie lives in the darkness. And to be unknown, to deceive or put up a platform of yourself that you're not, is to live in that darkness and not to come into the light and walk and have fellowship. And there's just a relief. It really is a relief to no longer strive to be accepted by other men, But to live and again, allow God to do healing work as you process life with other men.
Yeah, I love it. And I'm excited. I think this is going to be a catalyst conversation for transformation for guys in the new year. And that's why I'm looking forward to men saying yes to this. What are some roadblocks that you guys anticipate would keep somebody from wanting to say yes to being a part of this?
I think the number one roadblock is a morning study.
There we go. Time.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
It's the time of the study. And again, it's what time does study begin?
6:30 a.m.
I remember when I moved to Topeka, I had three little boys. My youngest was 18 months. My oldest was 6 years old. And I started a thing called the Quest for Authentic Manhood. And it was built out of Fellowship Bible Church in Little Rock. And that started at 6. And we had around 50 guys who would show up each.
That.
Yep. Yeah. And I just remembered, I realized when I had three boys, I just didn't want to mess up. Mm-hmm. Okay? But not wanting to mess up is a lousy vision for a father and a husband. I didn't want to have an affair. I didn't want to have a life of porn, all those things that kind of crash a guy. Mm-hmm. I didn't want these things to happen. And so my vision for fatherhood in and of myself was just don't mess up. Mm-hmm. Again, that's sin management, right? You don't know how bad you are until you try to be good. Mm-hmm. And so we need to live in grace. We need to realize, no, wait a minute. God is calling you to a higher vision than just don't mess up. Mm-hmm. And what is that vision? We defined it with four characteristics of godly manhood, which was a godly man rejects passivity, accepts responsibility, leads courageously, and expects God's reward. Mm-hmm. And we built that off of just our men's ministry here. And that has stayed with me. The guys who went through that with me, that still is something they remember and still something they apply. That my number one calling is not to be a husband or a father. It's to be a child of God.
Yep.
And then my second calling is to my wife.
Yeah.
What does it look like to love her like Jesus loves me?
Mm-hmm.
My children, what does it look like to model my heavenly father with my kids? And then even it gave me a vision for leading in the church, not out of insecurity, but out of God's strength and his working. It's his church, not mine. Yeah. I'm just a steward of it. So all these things, when we join together, God just has a greater chance of working in and through us when we join the fellowship of other men doing this.
Yeah. And Greg, for you, what would be a reason why a guy should say yes to being a part of this?
Well, I do think the time.
Yeah.
The time early in the morning is not really been missed. You're not being missed by family as much, as opposed to in the evenings when it's more kind of like, okay, we have soccer or we've got different events going on or kids sports or whatever it's going to be.
Bedtime routines
starting at 7:30 or whatever that's going to be. That, yes, it's earlier. Go to bed a little bit earlier for 6 weeks. Set that alarm.
Yeah.
Get up. It's a time that you can just, it becomes, I don't know, when you walk in, you've walked in the past. You walk in, you can smell the coffee. Sometimes there's donuts, bananas for those who need it. But you walk in and there is just a camaraderie going, yes, we made a bit of a sacrifice, but we're here together. I know that I'm meeting with a group of guys that still out of the last Awake series, they said, let's continue to meet once a month. And it's still early in the morning at 6:30, but to develop that habit and to not have a time that pulls away from family as much. And I do like the time. And then once you're there, like, okay, we did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got here.
I also think, you know, we have friends who are other Christians as men, but we aren't intentional like Awake is. And I think we need that. I think every man needs an intentional focus in their lives of other men processing their lives with them, not for comparative purposes, but for just really dealing with this truth that we're going to be talking about and applying it to their lives and giving each other ideas on how we can practice this well in our homes or in our workplaces.
Yeah, and I think we all have this idea that like we're going to have these kinds of conversations with our brothers, but they don't often happen. They don't happen naturally or easily.
Yeah.
You have to make space for it.
Yep.
And yeah, this is an attempt to do that.
I've had a recent conversation with a guy who says, I meet with these guys that go to fellowship. I meet with these guys every week for lunch. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. It rarely comes around to talking about Christ. Mm-hmm. Rarely comes along. We tend to just talk about sports. We talk about fantasy leagues. We talk about everything. And all those are good things, but we're missing out on an opportunity.
Yeah.
And I just think it's a better opportunity to share those things and have a little bit of an intention with it.
Yep.
Yeah. And to that word intention, Joe, I agree with that, because formation doesn't just occur. Transformation doesn't just occur. It occurs when we're intentional. It's like, no, we're going to set this time aside that I can be formed, but that I can be put myself in a place in front of other people. I remember the last Awake series. It was the last class, and I had to sit with some new guys, and because they were new, and my group wasn't there, but yet we were still able to dig in to the truth that was being put out by Mr. Fate, and to walk in truth together, because we need the truth for transformation, but we have that place. It's intentional that we can do it. So I like that word.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my encouragement to anybody, any guy who's listening to this is don't let the time be a roadblock to an opportunity where space is set aside for transformational conversations to happen.
Yep.
And then two, don't let a lack of knowing somebody else who's going to be there be a roadblock either. Yes, we think it happens so much greater when you are with guys that you know, there's already a relationship established. If you have those guys, invite them to come to this with you.
Yeah.
But if you don't have those guys, we still want you to say yes, because transformational conversations happen around our open tables with facilitators who have said yes to be there for you, to get to know you, to invite you into bringing your heart into the light.
Yeah.
That's what they're there for.
I think that's the second reason guys say no to it, is they'd rather live in the dark than live in the light. Mm-hmm. And to be quite frank, you do nothing by living in the dark. You just stay the way things are, and you don't realize the waning effect of the culture around you or the constant tug of darkness in your life, and just staying passive, staying off the grid. And to do something takes courage.
Yes.
So getting up and then to have other guys in on your life, I mean, that's daunting for guys, because darkness just tells you, don't let light here. Light's our enemy.
Yep.
And to navigate through that, I think, is so important. Mm-hmm. It is to realize there's something within me that doesn't want to go to this. But I know that if you'll come, that you won't regret it. I know even I've had wives tell me whose husbands got up early to go. They didn't miss them at home, okay? And they noticed a difference.
Yeah.
There was a measurable difference in their relationship, how they handled the kids, how they talked through meaningful issues in their family, in their marriages.
Yep.
And it doesn't have to be something you just let everybody know you're doing. Just show up and let God do something.
Six yeses.
That's right.
That's what we're asking for, is six yeses.
Yep, that's right.
That's 6 hours of your life that we're asking.
That's right. Less than one day's gaming opportunities for many men.
Or less than a full day of work.
That's right.
That's what we're asking for you to say yes to. And so that you know kind of where we're going in some of these conversations, we're going to be talking about things like loneliness, despair, lust, apathy, futility, ambition. So these are going to be some of the topics that we're covering in these conversations, and kind of the dark side of each one of these things. And then ultimately, how can we move out of these areas and into the light together with God and with one another? So any closing thoughts or encouragements for the guys as we look forward to this new study beginning?
Yeah, so I'm on the other side of years and years of opening up my life to other men. I've been here 23 years. In Chattanooga, Tennessee, when I was there for 8.5 years, I had other men building into me there. And I will tell you, this side, I have deep friendships. Mm-hmm. One of my dear friends is right next to me here, Greg Pruitt. We have trust through many years of relationship. And Greg can ask me any question he wants to ask me, and I'll answer him as honestly as I possibly can. Having guys in your life, I am thankful for being rich with friends. I just am. Not surface friends, not friends who just know a little bit about me. guys who know the core, the core of my ambition in life, whether it's with Christ or without Christ, what I'm capable of doing, and who have a who have a deep love for me, but a greater love for Jesus. And I just, why would anyone, that just doesn't happen overnight. You can't expect that to happen overnight. This is one step or another step forward to something like that happening in every man's life, which I want. What's happened to me, I want for others.
Amen.
Yeah. I said along with that, the invitation, Joe's invited me into his life and me likewise, and a continual invitation. So the power of an invitation. I've already invited my small group guys, said, this is what's going on. Here are the dates. It's six times. I mean, you can't make all of them, but let's have our group there. But the power of invitation, just for been reflecting on how the gospel is invitation. Jesus is inviting. We see the apostles inviting, and we just see examples of invitation. And all it is asking, is moving beyond ourselves and going, okay, hey, what do you think? Could we do this together? And not just even for a wake, but that's a good start place of saying, begin inviting, begin saying to one or two other guys, let's do this together and let's see what God could do.
Yeah,
that's right.
And what better way to start off the new year than to say yes to this invitation, to step into this conversation with brothers in this church who have a desire to grow in the same ways. Yeah. So,
And I've heard some guys say sometimes, well, it's kind of the same thing. This is all new material, and we've got different folks teaching. We have some team teaching happening this time, and I'm excited about, I'm working with Zach Fate. We've been actually meeting and prepping, and we have another meeting on Monday. You know, it may be remote because of some snowstorm or something, but I know that we're all going to just lay our hearts out going, hey, this is the materials. This is where we think you guys can grow and offering us opportunity of saying it's fresh, it's new. Let's do it together.
Yeah. Amen. Guys, thank you so much for beginning this conversation. And brothers, we look forward to seeing you at the Awake Study at the end of January.